Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, we're focusing on the constituency of Dublin Central today. It's a diverse constituency at the heart of the capital, stretching from North Strand to Glasnevin. Issues that are cropping up on the doorsteps range from housing, crime and immigration. And we've got two panels of candidates on the programme today. So our first panel, we're joined by Gary Gannon from the Social Democrats, Pascal Donoghue from Fine Gael, Claire Daly from Independence for Change and Councillor Janice Boylan from Sinn Féin. And you're all very welcome to the programme this evening. We're going to start on the issue of housing because you may have heard our reporter Maura Fay, who was out a little earlier speaking to constituents on the ground, and housing came up again and again. And Pascal Donoghue, I might put the first question to you because one of the people that Maura was talking to, a man, said his grown-up children, his adult children, have good, well-paying jobs and yet they cannot buy their own home. In fact, they're very far from being able to buy their own home. That just sums it up, doesn't it, the problems facing people in this constituency and around the country?
I accept this continues to be the greatest challenge that we face within our country, how we can build more homes, how we can make those homes more affordable. I can make the case for the 180,000 homes that we've built since 2016, but I always accept that in connecting that to the daily lives of people, the value of those homes won't be really real until it helps you get your own home and somebody in your family get your own home. So instead, what I would do very briefly is just point to the examples of change that are underway in Dublin Central. I will point to Devonny Gardens, the hundreds of homes that have been built there at the moment. I will point to Dorset Street. I will point to Mary's Mansions. I will point to Foster Place. I point to the work that's happening in Constitution Hill as tangible examples of the kind of progress that we're making. But of course, I accept that in the years ahead, we need to build more and build more affordably, which we're committed to doing within Fine Gael.
You mentioned O'Devonny Gardens, and there was a piece in the paper just a couple of days ago about O'Devonny Gardens, particularly around the cost rental apartments that have come available. £1,500 for a one-bed cost rental apartment. Is that affordable?
So I accept for many it's still not affordable enough. I accept that. It is at a discount of up to 25% of what is the market rent in an area like Stony Batter. And what we need to do in the years ahead is build on that to come up with more affordable units.
I just interrupt you there and I want to bring in the rest of the panel though. But does that not point to how your affordable and cost rental model is broken? Because it's pegged to the market rent and the market keeps going up for perhaps other policies that we might discuss in a short while. But as a result, you end up with a €1,500 one-bed apartment that's meant to be affordable.
I accept, of course, that for many it is still not affordable. I accept that. But that is why we have to build more of them and invest more in them. And by doing that, try to make them more affordable again. You know, we have
Just very quickly, finally, point.
We have one-bedroom units that are available at lower rents elsewhere in the city. We need to build on that and make more of them available in Dublin Central, which, of course, we're committed to doing and making progress on doing.
Okay. You oppose this development, Gary Gannon, not you particularly, but the Social Democrats oppose the development.
Social Democrats proposed all the way right through to the end. This was a plan that
O'Devonny Gardens.
This was a plan that was developed through Sinn Féin's time during the council.
Yeah.
Towards the end, I was given two bad options and I chose the one that would do less harm to my constituents. Now, what the Social Democrats...
Which was to oppose it, is that correct?
No, I approved it.
Approved it, okay.
And it was a difficult decision, but I took the decision that it was two bad options and I took the one that was going to do the least harm to my constituents. At the time, Eoghan Murphy, in his role as the Minister for Housing, was threatening to CPO the land and develop it for lesser cost. So it was an enviable position. I chose the one to do the less harm. But what we do have opposed every single step of the way is the build to rent that is flooding Dublin Central all over the constituency. So if you think the 1,500 in rents is there, what about in Hamilton Gardens, for example, where these build-to-rents are going for 2,400 a month, or down in the Quayside Quarter in the North Quay, over 3,000 a month for build-to-rent. And we have this sickening scenario where you have these communities which are entrenched, long generation there, and their families can't afford to live in the constituency.
Mm.
And then overhead, all that's being built is these build-to-rent accommodations that are 2,000 and 3,000 euro and forcing just people outside.
Are people taking them up?
No, there's no people taking them
up. Are they empty?
In the OFSC, for example, a lot of the apartments there are never more than three quarters full. So you do have lots of empty apartments there because of this policy that's passed or stood over of build to rent. I mean, and that is flooding the Dublin Central.
Okay, I'll let Pascal back in on that, and then I want to get the rest of the panel in. Pascal?
So, Sarah, yes, I do accept that there are apartments that have been delivered through the private sector. But without the investment of the private sector, these apartments wouldn't be built in the first place.
That's not
every apartment that is built is an extra unit of rental accommodation that helps somebody somewhere else. But of course, alongside those projects being delivered by the private sector, we have the reality of the Dublin City Council accommodation that I mentioned earlier on.
Okay.
For example, what's happening in Dominic Street. Beautiful apartments and flats
are
that are being delivered by the City Council that are making a difference to the people who
live
alongside what the private sector is doing.
Okay, and I just want to clarify with you, Pascal. Are you aware of these apartments in the IFSC that are built to rent that are 75% full in the middle of a housing crisis because they're too expensive, says Gary Cannon?
So it's not my experience that up to a quarter of them
are empty. That's the reality. Come on, Pascal.
From what I can see, and let me just finish my point, please. Many of them are full, but alongside accepting that many of them are not affordable for the people that I'm privileged to represent, I will point to the projects that are being delivered by the City Council that are regenerating existing homes and building new
homes.
All right,
I want to bring in the panel. Claire Daly.
Which we will do more of in the time ahead.
Claire Daly.
This is so out of sync with the reality for people living in the area and in fact living around the country. The truth is that the manner in which the government is dealing with housing construction has led us to this situation. They've abdicated any role in it whatsoever. They have handed over housing construction to developers who are not builders. Generally, they are global finance funds who are in the market to make profit. And that's fine. We don't mind that. But that isn't a solution to building housing. We need to make the local authorities the developers in the way in which they were when they employed builders without the middleman. Because the way we're doing it now is we're gifting state land, as we did in O'Devany Gardens, to private developers who are building us unaffordable housing because they're putting us in a middle layer for themselves.
About making local authorities employers of construction workers.
No, absolutely not. I mean, what we used to do, the local authorities never built them themselves with their own direct labour. They had a list of builders who built them. And this is the confusion. A builder is not a developer. So a builder has a certain price for the job. It costs about 200,000 now to construct an average size house. 220 when you add in services. So a builder will have a cut in that. We'll say 240 would be more. The council contract a builder to build. That's what they've always done. But in the model being perpetuated by this government, they have private investment funds as a developer and they get
and
a big
scale.
Cut out of it. Why isn't the government accessing funds that are out there, ECB funds and so on, to build state housing? In the Netherlands, state housing is 32%. In Austria, in Denmark, it's 20%.
We're told
public
that
housing
funding,
for public
we're told
need.
That funding is not the problem. We're told that partly capacity is the problem. We don't have the builders.
The ideology
the developers
is the
can get if the developers and the global finance funds can get the construction workers, we can get the construction workers as well. That's
all right. Jan Spoilin, how would Sinn Féin tackle this problem?
Well, look, you've just said there that there's not enough workers. Leading industry figures have said that if there is enough workers to build 40 to 50,000 homes per year if the right policy changes were made. So the policies that are in place at the moment aren't serving the people. They're certainly not serving the people that I represent in Dublin Central. The rents are absolutely crippling people. People can't even get the homes when they have the HAP. They have HAP applications ready to go and they can't even go for the apartments that are there.
Because the supply
isn't
there.
The supply is there. The supply is there. The price is too much. They're priced out of the market all of the time.
Supply isn't
so
the problem.
It's
You're
not.
Right.
It's not the problem. Supply is not the problem. The problem is the policy. The policy that this government has implemented time and time again and now on the back foot they're coming along and saying that they'll do this and they do
I
that.
I think supply is partly the problem, isn't it? I mean, affordability is an issue.
Affordability and supply are not the same.
And
issue.
Supply,
no,
exactly.
There are two problems.
There are
two separate problems.
And the problem is that the government obsess on supply and they're not dealing with the affordability issue, which
Absolutely.
Is directly linked to the fact that they've outsourced it to big corporate global
Dublin
finance.
City
Half
Council
of the
have delivered less than 10 affordable homes in the last year.
Gary.
Dublin City Council have built less than 10 affordable homes in the last year. So what we're proposing as Social Democrats is to build 50,000 affordable purchase home and 25,000 cost rental home using the approved housing bodies model, such as what we've seen up on O'Kill. On. That is a model that works. What we've also proposed is bringing in affordable planning zones. We tried this on Dublin City Council in the development plan. We were told we couldn't do it because of the legislation wasn't there. Then Kian O'Callaghan brought it to the planning bill and the government brought it down.
Okay, I want to bring back in Pascoe Donohue. What do you think of that proposal from the Social Democrats, Pascoe Donohue? They're saying they can deliver affordable housing for 300,000 in the city.
Absolutely, so can we.
Well, I'd like to see how they're going to pay for us.
Well,
I'd
we've
like to
see how 16 they're going to make it affordable. Pascoe, I can send
you. But in connecting the grand sweeping arguments that they're making there, let's go back to the reality of what is happening in Dublin City, in Dublin Central at the moment. Look at Mary's Mansions, what has been delivered there by an approved housing body, allowing people to be in there to give them the homes they deserve. Look at the new homes that are built in Connaught Street in Phibsborough, rehousing people that were once homeless. Look at the project that's been delivered in Dorset Street by Dublin City Council. That is a project that has been delivered by the council and the way Care said it could.
Pascal, I'm not familiar with any of these, obviously, because I'm not in the constituency. Are those homes affordable, what you're outlining there?
They're regeneration flat complexes.
I'm the only government representative here. It's fine to be against everything, but I'm trying to make the case for something as well. The majority of the homes that I was describing there are city council accommodation or its approved housing bodies providing homes for tenants of the city council. But the homes that I'm talking about, the hundreds of homes that are being built at the moment in Devonny Gardens for cost rental and cost purchase, are new homes that people will be living in. And when I walk around Devonny Gardens and I see families who are going to be in there for Christmas, when I have other constituents approaching me looking at how they can access the homes that have been built at the moment, that is what progress does look like in terms of what we want to do.
Just to finish up answering the question, Claire Daly.
We're talking about affordable housing. In Devonny Gardens, the houses cost 350,000 and you need an income of 80,000. Now, that isn't life for people in this area. 1,900 for a cost rental unit. That site was gifted to a developer. 10 million of state money was put in for infrastructure. This is a total giveaway. And Pascal says we're against everything. I'm for the construction of social housing through the local authorities.
Pascal, not on the scale. Your land development agency is NAMA part two. Hold on, excuse me everybody, one second. Pascal, you also, I know you're remote this afternoon so you're at somewhat of a disadvantage, but please we can't have people speaking over each other. I want to bring in Jan's point.
Sarah, yeah, just like, I mean, Pascal saying he's walking around O'Devonny Gardens. I'm originally from O'Devonny Gardens. I was born and reared in O'Devonny Gardens, and the conditions that those people were left in those flats was absolutely disgraceful. They waited 20 years for a regeneration, 20 years for that development to go through, and when it went through, yeah, okay, people were happy with what they were getting because they had little or no choice to get it anywhere
else. Sinn Féin support or
no, we didn't. We didn't. We opposed it. We supported it at the start, Sarah.
So what do you say then to the people that Pascal's talking about who are in those homes now that have been actually delivered? They may be unaffordable for some people, but they are affordable for others, and there's people in there for Christmas who now have a home.
That's the 56 units, but there won't be anybody in any of the other ones until June this 2025.
But there will still be supply delivered there. So what do you say to those people? Because they wouldn't have been supply under Sinn Féin.
No, well, we opposed it at the end because of the giveaway, and there wasn't enough what we were asking for. We were asking for more than what the government were given. We wanted more social and affordable homes, proper social and affordable homes. Okay. Nothing affordable about a one bedroom at 1,500. Nothing affordable of a three bedroom at 1,900 to rent affordably. Not affordable. I don't know what planet Pascal's living on. Okay. It's not affordable.
I want to move on just briefly. In around the housing issue, there's also the issue of Help to Buy and buying your own home. And Pascal, I want to ask you about that because we have a new policy from Fine Gael talking about bringing up the Help to Buy scheme that you already have there, increasing it to €40,000, the Help to Buy scheme. Is that not reckless to add fuel to the fire when we have record house prices already?
So, Sarah, let me acknowledge what I did at the very start of the interview with you. And while I'm making the case for some progress being made, I want to emphasise again and again that I know how much of an issue this is for so many. I know how much more we need to do. In relation to Help to Buy, the improvement that we are recommending there is an increase. It reflects the high fact that house prices have gone up and we're trying to help people get a deposit for their first home. And critically, getting that deposit for the first home and giving confidence to the construction sector that people will be able to get their deposit in turn leads to an increase in supply. Because this
and
particular
an increase
incentive
in house prices.
Is only, it's only available
goes,
for new
no?
builds.
This is replicating bad models.
Just to answer that question, what you've put to me, the latest study that has been done in relation to it by the central bank said there wasn't evidence of a significant inflationary effect. Yeah. It helps people assemble their deposit. And the way we combat that inflationary effect is to keep on building more and more homes, which is why it's good news that in September, 50,000 homes commenced.
Gary Gannon, a lot of people rely on this payment to get their first home. Want to get rid of it, don't you?
We want to phase it out, definitely. We want to build affordable purchase homes, which is saying we can't get rid of it tomorrow. We fully accept that. But what we do also accept is that this Help to Buy has driven up the cost of homes.
Well, Pascoe says it hasn't. He says the latest study
Pascoe
says it hasn't.
Said a lot of things that I disagree with in that. So the Help to Buy
scheme. He's not just saying something, he's citing a report by the central bank.
I think what Rory here and Kiana Callaghan, our housing spokespeople, have done is very clearly demonstrate in the Dáil through using evidence from different areas that this has been used to drive up house prices.
Absolutely.
So what we are proposing is affordable housing models. So Pascoe hasn't answered the question about the affordable zoning. So what we proposed is affordable zoning where if you are, and it works in Vienna, it works in other areas, where you zone area for affordable housing. So we brought it up to the council. They said you have to bring it to Dáil.
But on the Help to Buy scheme, is that a red line for you? Because Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil say it's a red line for them. It has to stay.
We've made very clearly a red line for us is the building of 50,000 affordable purchase homes a year.
And okay, so you could go into government with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, for example, and keep the Help to Buy scheme.
So we are very clear in terms of where our red lines are. So the idea is we
Claire
want to
Daly,
be...
Where are you in the Help to Buy scheme?
I think the extension of these schemes is really regrettable. They are absolutely contributing to the problem. And unless we change the course we're on, we are not going to deal with this problem. It's another subsidy for the private sector. That money, taxpayers' money, should be used to build public housing and to deal with that on public land, not giveaways to private developers. And again, I make the point, a developer isn't
people,
a person.
Isn't it? It's people's
a global
own tax
finance.
Money is how it's been put by Simon Harris, giving
and
people back their own money to help to buy a house.
It is absolutely helping to drive up the figures. Pascoe can cite one report, but there is plenty of evidence to say the contrary. And it makes perfect sense when you look at the reality that's out there. House prices are driving up. The myth from the government and previous ones was that they build more houses, get more first-time buyers, and the prices will fall. They haven't fallen. And the floor, if you like, is getting higher and higher, and it's driving more young people out. And every parent in the area has that concern.
Okay, final words yourself, Janice. I want to take a break.
Sure, look, Luton is going to change in this unless we change a government. Like, we have a proposal there to build more social and affordable homes, and we have 300,000 over the first 5 years, which includes all social and affordable, all private as well, and affordable homes, private purchase homes, and rental and self-built properties. That's the way to do it. Not increasing the
And Sinn Féin would get rid of the Help to Buy as well.
Well, we'd phase it out. We'd absolutely phase it out.
Okay. And just to be clear, for both of you, Social Democrats and Sinn Féin, by the end of the term of the next government,
phase
over 5 years, we would phase it out.
Also, no fault evictions as well.
No fault evictions, absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a break. Our panel is staying with us.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
Right, we're going to move on to the issue of crime. And of course, our panel are still with us here. We have Gary Gannon, Pascoe Donoghue, Claire Daly and Janice Boylan. And you're all still very welcome to the programme. And Janice, I want to come to you on the issue of crime. Sinn Féin is promising to increase Garda numbers to 16,000 by opening a second Garda training college and recruiting 900 to 1,100 every year for the next 5 years. It's quite a bit lower than what the rest of the candidates are proposing. Have you undershot the runway here?
No, I don't think so. It's because of the retention stuff that's been going on within the guards. They're trying to retain them. The circumstances that they're working in hasn't been very good. They haven't been very supported by government and stuff like that. So I think the figure that we have is a realistic figure to try to make sure that we are increasing the Garda numbers. I mean, you have the Minister Pascoe. He's been in the position of the Justice for the last 14 years, and the figures that they had his party is in Justice for the last 14 years, and the figures that were at the start of that government are the same. They haven't changed at all. So I think it's not too much to ask for. It's not overshotting or undershotting, as you say. It's 14,000 there at the moment. We're asking for it to go up to 16,000.
Claire Daly, how would you assess the issue of crime and disorder in Dublin Central?
Yeah, and I think the issue of Gardaí is an interesting one, because it's not about numbers, but it's about what Garda priorities are. And it seems very clear to me that this community has been largely abandoned by the Gardaí. I mean, I've seen two guards and they were going in for a cup of coffee in my time out in the streets over the past week. Yet there were hundreds of Gardaí in Shannon yesterday trying to stop a peaceful protest over Irish complicity in the genocide in Gaza. So there are a lot of guards around when they want them. But when there's open drug dealing in designated spots that everybody in this constituency knows where it's going on, you can only come to the conclusion that this is a deliberate Garda policy to contain drug dealing in certain communities who are frankly sick of it. Mm-hmm. And it's like the 80s back again. So numbers is one thing, but it's Garda priorities. And it's very clear that working class communities are not a Garda priority.
Although I'm sure the Gardaí who work in Dublin Central work as hard as the Gardaí elsewhere and wouldn't agree that they've abandoned the city centre.
I meant strategically from Garda management that there seems to be a direct link into saying, no, these areas, well, there has to be, because everybody knows where the drug dealing is. It goes on openly all the time, 24/7. And Gardaí know that drive-by and nothing is done about
it. And Pascal, that has been a theme for years now, hasn't it? People talking about the open drug dealing and drinking and violence that you see in Dublin city centre.
I think Dublin is a fantastic city. I think the north side of our city is a particularly special part of our capital city, but I accept we need to do better here. I accept that for many who are living in or living near the city centre, they don't feel as safe as I would want. This is why we want to build on the changes that we have made. We want to do two things. Firstly, we want to prioritise an additional 1,000 guards for our city centre in particular. And then secondly, we have committed to a task force on the city centre about changes that we want to make on O'Connell Street. And I would in particular prioritise, for example, what we can do with GPO. We are making changes in how we recruit and keep guards, changes in the training allowance, changes at the age at which you can join the guards, changes at which the age you need to retire from them.
We spoke to the GRA about some of that on the programme here on Friday and they said it wasn't enough. It's not going to make the difference that's needed.
And why weren't all of this done before now?
I think I do accept the point that on its own it won't make the difference, but that's not what we're proposing. You know, we have 746 guards who are in Temple Bar at the moment. They're joining because of the work that can be done. Okay. We need to build on that. And I explicitly
I want to get Gary Claire Daly said there a moment ago.
The idea that the guards in Bridewell, Mountjoy, Store Street or Fitzgibbon Street are in any way complicit in the behaviour they try to stop is wrong.
Pascal, I think what the problem is here is that because of the absence of guards in the city centre, that the guards that decisions have to be taken, and there's very clearly is a policy of containment in some areas. You're feeling that the doors in the same way as I am. I mean, no doubt for a second the good work the guards are doing around those guard stations, but all they're actually doing is pushing the problem from one area to another area in a form of a cycle. And you see that as much as I do. One of the big problems I've seen, that Pascal wouldn't recognise, is after the feud that was happening in Dublin Central, Pascal has set up a Mulvey report that came up with a number of different recommendations and had almost 50 million spent at this point to address the causes of that, or drug dealing, crime.
Okay, and you don't think it's going to work?
No, it hasn't worked. This is something that's already hasn't worked. This is a previous task force, the Mulvey report that we talked about. So now, when coming up to an election, he's come out with this idea of another task force. But he didn't the budget.
Sarah, can I come in at that, please?
You can come in now in a second, please.
Sarah, can I?
But in terms of what has actually been done, these are the policies. Pascal constantly talks about a strong economy in the centre holding. You walk down O'Connell Street and you'll see what that means for actual people.
So what is the Social Democrats going to do about it?
So the Social Democrats have made a number of recommendations in terms of what they were. Firstly, we need to stop pulling Garda resources out of the residential communities. We need a stationary Garda service in the centre of the city. That is for a more municipal style of policing. So we need guards there and we need guards in our residential areas.
So extra Gardaí for starters?
But also we need to maintain the Gardaí that we have. Morale within the Gardaí is depleted to its lowest point ever.
Okay.
That is a consequence of not being heard, not being listened to. When you announce something like a lack of confidence in the Commissioner and the Fine Gael Justice Minister just goes, well, carry on as you were. Can you blame people even for it? The greatest
recruiter I'll let Pascal and briefly, I want to bring you in,
people
Janice,
in
then.
That profession.
Pascal, task force and nothing changes is the charge being put to.
Oh, well, I want to make the case for the North. I want to make the case for the North in the City Task Force. I want to make the case for the City Connects programme that is making a difference to young girls and boys in giving them additional support in all of our primary schools in the North in the City. I want to point to the new primary school building on Sheriff Street, make the case for the new
Things
community hub in Rutland Street.
Don't take credit for a school, Pascal.
Point to the progress
All right, and you've made
been made.
You've made that case.
The primary care centre in Ballybock.
Why can't we have a primary healthcare centre? Why does that have to be? Why is that different than any other area?
Gary, you can't say progress has not been made. And when I say it is been made,
another issue, Janice, that is brought up in this constituency, among other constituencies, is the issue of immigration. Where does Sinn Féin stand in relation to immigration in this constituency, and what would you do to address the issues that are, I suppose, bubbling under?
Yeah, so we want to establish a new immigration management agency to deliver a fairer system that works. We also want to have full and transparent community consultation. You have a situation that has erupted in the North Inner City, particularly in East Wall, around the IPAS centre that went down there. Absolutely disgraceful what happened in relation to the protesting that went out there. But there's a number of failures from the government that enhanced that actually added to that fueled the flames there.
So what would Sinn Féin do differently here? You'd have consultation with the community, and the community still says we don't want it. Now what happens?
Well, you have to understand, sir, the people of Dublin Central are very good, decent people. Mm. There's more people in those communities that understand the need to take in refugees and asylum seekers than there is of those that don't. So saying things like that, the community won't accept it. And
no,
even
I'm
if
asking
they do,
you a question.
No,
if the community says at the end of the consultation, we don't want this here, what happens then?
It's because the resources aren't there. It's because it's already an overstretched community. These communities have been left on their hands and knees because of failures from government and the policies that they have implemented.
Okay, so if at the end of the consultation, the community says, we don't want this here, they have to be
listened to, and we'd have to look at another area.
Is that not a veto?
No, it's absolutely not. What it is it's actually putting IPAS centres into communities that can take them on board, such as Aylesbury Road or Shrewsbury. I played Monopoly as a kid.
We've always been. So full implementation of the Catherine Day report, I said we should have reception centres. Well, understanding that the scale of the problem is bigger than that at this moment, we do believe that we need to quadruple the budget for IPAS in terms of how they source forms of accommodation, and the communities deserve to have a good, strong, effective communication strategy. That's been lacking by this government. In terms of what happened down in East Wall, the precursor to that was the government.
So, sorry, what does that mean? Do you agree with what Sinn Féin is saying? There's a consultation, and if at the end of it the community makes the case that we don't have the resources, then that's the end of that.
Not in the slightest. What we've demonstrated as Social Democrats already, be that in East Wall, when we can now actually engage in community building, go into the centres, go into the communities, bring people together in the community centres, the football pitches. That's how we dispel the protest. We're actually bringing the community together. Look,
so you're just confident you can convince people it's a good idea?
No, well, consultation is a precursor to integration. Let me be clear. I mean, you can't have integration.
My question to you is, what does the Social Democrats say if at the end of the consultation the community says we don't want this here?
A consultation is not a veto. A consultation is a precursor to veto.
Just briefly,
you take on board the points that the community make. I mean, what happened in East Wall? I mean, an office complex and an IPAS centre run by an event management company is just absolutely the wrong way to go. I mean, initially there was very little information for the community. Initially, they brought in a lot of single males, even though families were always intended to be there. That's not the right way to go. The issue here, if we're talking about people, because you said immigration at the start, and of course, immigration involves also people who are coming in to work in this country with permits. But if you're talking about asylum seekers in particular and the location of those, we have a legal and a moral responsibility. Yep. There isn't a problem with the numbers at all, but there's a very big problem with the way in which our government has managed it. For years now, we've been calling for an end to direct provision, but instead we have these private institutions, again, getting big payments, event management companies to run these. That's not a proper asylum system. It's not a proper asylum system.
Huge influx of immigrants. But we have to leave it, the discussion here in studio at that. But Pascal, I just want to ask you briefly before we let you go about the ongoing controversy over Fine Gael candidate in Louth, John McGahan. Micheál Martin responding to that today, he said he was shocked when he saw the video of John McGahan punching a man in the head while lying on the ground. He said it was anything but a scuffle, which was the word that had been used by Simon Harris to describe it. Micheál Martin said it was vicious, quite vicious. Do you agree it was quite vicious? And should Simon Harris clarify?
So I'd hope to come in the debate on the very important issue of asylum seeking and making the case for what we are doing in Dublin Central, for the decency of the communities that are there, but also for the needs of people who come to Ireland who are genuine refugees. Maybe I might get to do that at another point. To answer your question there directly, Sarah, I'm appalled by any act of violence. I do know this is an act that went in front of our criminal courts. Senator John McGahan was acquitted by them. In my meetings with him, he appeared years very hugely contrite for what has happened, and I've seen how hard he does work for the people of Louth.
If Sinn Féin, can I put this to you, if Sinn Féin was running a candidate, and if there's video footage of that candidate punching a man in the head while he was lying on the ground, and if that candidate had been found 65% liable for that attack, Fine Gael would be shouting from the rooftop.
100% sure he would. They'd be having us over the coals. And just to make the point...
Okay,
there,
I just let Pascal respond to that. Thank you. Pascal.
Well, actually, I'd make the case for what I always do, that there should be due process. People are entitled to be dealt with by a jury of their peers, which is what happened here with Senator McGahan.
But it's not about whether or not he was found guilty in a court. It's about standards in public life, isn't it?
Absolute standards, yeah.
Which are very important to me. And that's why, again, I want to just go back to... If I could just go back to the point I was about to make. I condemn any act of violence. The matter was in front of the courts. The people of Louth will make their mind up in relation to somebody who I've seen is a hard worker and will have to make the case for his efforts.
All right. And if you wanted to very briefly, Pascal, make a point on immigration in relation to the discussion we had here.
Thanks, Sarah, for letting me come back in on that. I absolutely recognise the huge difficulties that many of the communities of Dublin Central have faced by the influx of people we've had to deal with it on an emergency basis. I have visited these centres myself, and I visited the communities that are affected by them. And so many of the people who have come to our country have come here in such terrible circumstances. We need to be fair to them. Okay. We need to look after them. But at the same time, we do need to firmly and properly implement our law as well, which is why we're putting more resources into improving the processing time, so those that shouldn't be here are afforded the opportunity.
We have to leave it there.
Elsewhere.
And thank you all very much for joining us. That's Gary Gannon, Pascal Donoghue, Claire Daly and Janice Boylan. And we'll be back after 6 o'clock with another panel from this constituency.